Okay. Congressional Affairs Committee meeting is called back to order. Next item on the agenda, number five, is travel. I believe we have a packet somewhere. No travel, but it's on the agenda. So there's no travel? Payables, next item. So we have two. First payable is in the amount of $1,117.27 to the Citibank card. Congressman Potts.
Motion to approve the payable to the Citibank in the amount of $1,117.27.
Motion and a second. All those in favor say yes. Yes.
Yes.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion passes. Congressman Potts.
Motion to approve the payable to John Hancock in the amount of $1,755.06.
There is a motion on the floor. Do I hear a second? Can I second it? Congresswoman. Second.
I know. Can I look at it real quick
before
I decide if I'm going to second it or not?
Is Maria still on that? She's gone.
Is this just for one person or what?
Congressman Potts.
I believe that charge is a charge from John Hancock because the balance of the fund is not over $1 million. So it's based on a percentage of total assets going forward until the total amount for the 401k plan exceeds $1 million.
Don't ask me.
So what is this? I don't understand. It's a letter to, and then what is this? A buildup that says more than 180 days overdue to bring your account up to date. Check what's, I don't know. Does this happen monthly or what? Because I'm not familiar with this.
Congressman Potts.
They are charges that are billed, I believe, quarterly. They do accumulate monthly. There has been and continues to be miscommunication on the part of John Hancock and the firm WJSPRYXZ, whoever manages the contact with John Hancock, has had issues with connecting the billing through Congress. So this invoice is for previous amounts billed. Due in June, July, August, and September.
I would like to add to that that due to the fact that a Congress member is the trustee, any correspondence comes directly addressed to those Congress members, and we do not open personal email to Congress members or personal mail to Congress members. And so the mail was sent to those individuals, and we were unaware that there were actually bills at the time. So until we were made aware of that, we did not have those to make payables.
Okay, that makes a little more sense because I wasn't understanding, and it's saying that 6 months went by. So, okay. But it's typically addressed quarterly?
Yes.
Okay, all right. And I don't, I'm asking because I don't know, because I haven't, well, I haven't been on CA.
Well, we were completely, we were thrown off too, because when we found out that they were past due, we were like, we haven't received anything, and it was because it wasn't something that was addressed to Congress, it was addressed to that individual person.
A trustee, do we have two or one? I thought you were one when you were an employee, right? No? Okay.
I am now a trustee.
Right. We do have two. Okay. Previously, I believe, was previous Congressman Hamilton.
Oh, okay.
Congressman Yeck, Congressman Edwards, and then just Congressman Hamilton.
Okay. I have not been one, so I'm not familiar with that either. Okay. All right. I got it. All right. So, you want to do your, is your motion still in order?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. I don't think so, but we will say it. It is second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Yes. Motion passes. Congressman Potts.
Motion to approve payable to Code Publishing Company in the amount of $2,587.33.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion?
Hallelujah.
Seeing none, all those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Yes. Motion passes. Next item on the agenda. Do we have Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Without objection, I will move the discussion of SSA agreement next, since we have you on the phone. So if you would like to, I'll give you the floor and you can proceed.
Well, I'm kind of working at a desk without my documents in front of me. Basically, I just wanted to open the discussion that we received, the discussion on the public law amendment to the, I guess, the Social Security law that would allow tribal council to make an agreement with the Social Security Administration to pay in just like any other and be considered an employee for that purpose. I'm very interested in our body being able to do so, and I was just wanting to open the floor for discussion about how other members felt and if this committee wanted to take action, or quite possibly we needed a resolution of Congress to allow the speaker to have a conversation with the Social Security Administration and enter into an agreement. My understanding, just from the documents that have been presented to me, and I believe that I've sent on to you, that it, and I've read the public law also, that it has to be an agreement with the Social Security member administration that would catch all of our body. It's either everyone pays in or everyone doesn't pay in. It's kind of an all or nothing proposition according to the law. So studied a little bit more than let's just go forward with it. For instance, we hear a lot, especially from this administration, that they're
coming after our sovereignty. They're coming after our status as federally recognized tribes. They're coming after Indian Health Services, and I think that some of that's already been made example of in budgetary sessions presented by this president. This includes us or allows us to opt into Medicare taxes. And if that's the plan, and if that's the guise by which this administration plans to say, well, you've been paying into Social Security, we caught you up, and now we're going to take away IHS because you can operate on Medicare like everybody else, that's not something I want to have a hand in. I don't know that that's their play. But it's the federal government, and I'm not really inclined to trust them right now, especially during this administration.
That's fake news.
If I may, Chairman, respond to that.
Please.
Chairman.
Please.
Mr. Klondike, I'm trying to really find how I'm not understanding your concerns right now. As far as our nation is concerned, there are 12 members of Congress of the nation who, as far as I know, are the only people affiliated with the United States Nation that don't pay Social Security taxes or pay into the Social Security system. As far as I know, everybody else is in the nation. I think we have probably 450 employees plus other elected officials are paying in. So I'm trying to figure what just us 12 people resisting to do so. Why that would be an issue.
Congressman Potts.
And to clarify, it's not necessarily that we've done anything wrong. I know that we don't currently pay into Social Security, but as you can read in the memo, quote, despite this reality, some tribal council members have erroneously paid Social Security and Medicare taxes, believing that their earnings would count toward future benefits. So if the federal government is going to say to 400 plus other federally recognized tribes who haven't been doing it correctly, oh, we're going to back pay you for all of your erroneous payments to Social Security, and because we're doing that, we're going to throw up in the air for discussion included benefits of IHS and other things. It's not necessarily specific to our tribe or our nation. It's what they can open the door with for this. And I don't know that we're ready for that discussion. Did that help clarify?
I'm still not really following the reasoning or the logic behind that. I believe it's as simple as, our chief pays Social Security and has the ability to pay the Social Security system. I believe that where it talks about some people, some tribes have erroneously paid in, but they weren't up to date on the IRS ruling that says tribal councils are disallowed from paying into that system. I believe what that's referring to is that people that erroneously have paid in, there is a provision for them to be able to collect what was to be credited for what was erroneously paid in through this public law. So I'm not following you, and I would like to know from you what more would you do. You need an attorney general's opinion to feel more comfortable with this? This came from David Mullen, who is our federal lobbyist up in Washington, D.C. I know if he gets the memo, he offered to speak to us. Would a conversation with him joined by phone conference make you feel more comfortable with it? Do you have specific questions? I'm wanting to get to a place that people feel comfortable with this, or they just say, no, we don't want to pay to, let's get it out here. What do we want to do? Personally, I want to pay into Social Security.
Thank you, Congresswoman Whitehorn. Congresswoman Pratt.
Okay, thank you. So I agree with both of you, because coming into Congress and not paying in, Congresswoman Whitehorn, I was like, oh, I wish we could pay in, because you know, the effect that it might have long term. However, I agree with Congressman Potts as well, but I think we need to, like, maybe we could look at a time frame in a little more research, and it might help to speak to Mr. Mullen, simply because I would say this administration doesn't do much to, hasn't. It's weird to me, too, that this administration would do much, especially tribally, to assist us as a benefit. So I'm a little skeptical of it as well. So I agree that there would, but I understand where you're coming from, Congresswoman Whitehorn. And so I think maybe could we look at a time frame, because this has come out of nowhere and tribally related. I think what he's saying, the way I'm understanding it, Maria, overall is, I know it's just 12 of us, but then there's 12, there's however many out there across the country, and it's something with four tribal councils. So I think that's just kind of what Mr. Potts is, or Congressman Potts is saying, is that across the board it's a little sketchy.
I understand. So would we want to put this on a future agenda and maybe contact the chief to see if Mr. Mullen could assist the nation with this decision and maybe give us more information, since he is engaged by Chief Sandy Bear? Would you like for me to have that conversation and see if we can get him on our next agenda to join us by then? Would that make everybody feel better?
Well, I think that's an option. Are you talking about the next Congressional Affairs Committee?
Yes.
Okay, that would be fine. So
I'll have communication with the chief and Mr. Mullen between now and then. And if you guys have specific concerns, other than what I've been informed of today, please email me and I will go ahead and try to get those to the chief to get to Mr. Mullen. Or if we need to engage someone else to help us with this issue, I'll look for that. Okay?
Sounds good. Thank you, Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Thank you for hearing me. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Do we need a motion to postpone this? For another? Okay, let's just move on. Okay, we are through travel, payables, congressional chambers, discussion of SSA. Without any objections, I'd like to go to congressional coins. Congresswoman Pratt, turn the floor over to you.
Okay, sorry, I don't have something for you to look at visually, but dang, I did have a coin with me. So, okay, yeah, he has a collection. So it, basically, it's just a discussion of, do we want to look at having a congressional coin, in the military? I don't know if that's what they're called in all governments, but a challenge coin. It's just the memorial, the Veterans Commission is going to do a coin. They're very big across the military and other governments, the Oklahoma government. They have some. It's just something that a veteran, an actual veteran constituent, kind of commented that it would be nice if, you know, to receive one from their our government. Others, tribes have them. This right here is a DEA coin that when I worked for the Drug Enforcement Administration, that I gave to Congressman Potts. So it's just, I don't know. It was just a discussion of whether you all want to look at possibly having a coin for our government and being able to, you know, have them as Congress members and share them with other governments or tribal members when they should. I mean, you don't necessarily have to, like, be receiving an award for it, but if you do, then it's nice to receive a coin. So just kind of get a feel of if you all would want to consider having a congressional coins. If not, cool. If you want me to look a little further into it and kind of see if the entire body wants to do it. Anyways, it was just to bring that up.
Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Not opposed to the idea of congressional coins.
Mm-hmm.
These are a thing. When you go to DC, this is what you hand somebody, and it carries some weight.
Sure.
Not quite sure why, but that's just the way it is. That's how Dad did it. That's how America does it. And there you go. There are coins specific to members of Congress. Each member of the United States House of Representatives has their own coin. If we wanted to do something like that, where each individual has their own coin, I'd be kind of more open to that. As I frequently say, I'm always worried about how much it's going to cost. I would like to see how much it would cost for a congressional coin for that's the same for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe
individually?
A personalized coin.
With your picture on it?
No, not with my picture on it.
I know, I'm kidding. But yeah.
Mr. Chair, I'll be right back with you.
But these are, like I said, a big thing in the, like you said, I'm not really sure, but they were a big thing in the military and a challenge. Most of us carried the one type of coin or another on us at all times. I mean, you could be out in the middle of the field and they would call it for a challenge coin. A coin challenge. Things like that. And then there's, in the military, there are consequences if you aren't carrying one. So.
Congressman Potts.
Mr. Chair, I'm looking at a coin from Congressman Tom Cole. It's the seal of the United States House of Representatives on one side. The flip side is the seal of the state of Oklahoma. Congressman Tom Cole in the 4th District. If something like this could be provided, I think that would be neat. I would be more apt to say if the individual member of Congress wants to purchase it, that's the better option, instead of having the Congress bear the cost or maybe prorate in some way. But I think it would be interesting to see costs.
Yeah, so just to follow, I mean, I can look a little more further into it and give options. It's just that, and the reason I bring it up is because a constituent actually said it would be nice to, you know, for
sure.
To receive one from their government for certain things. So anyways, all right, I'll bring something back if that's okay.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Thank you. Next item I want to get to is number 7 off OFPR. I believe in our last discussions that we had a couple of weeks ago about the office, we were going to do some research. Speaker Walker, did you have some input on the OFPR?
I was going to come right back. I was just going to ask, do I have input on OFPR?
I think the last time that we left it, you were going to look at the job description or the, I'm trying to remember going back, we read about the law and what it is and that we have to have the office in place. And we were looking at a job description and we had
a
budget.
Taking on a task. I'm not saying that I won't, but I don't recall saying that go ahead.
Congressman.
Mr. Chair, I believe that discussion devolved to let's pass the law and then worry about the job description.
Okay.
Not the other way around. So I think the discussion of OFPR can come off of our agenda for future meetings with the intent to pass a law for OFPR in the HUNCA session, and then revisit the position of chief monitor, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm. Congresswoman.
Seriously? Is that the last conversation that was taking place, that it was?
I believe so. Congressman Tillman, Big Horse, and I were part of the discussion here at the meeting. I believe we were talking about moving forward with hiring the position with the intent to rewrite the law to then ramp up and staff the office, and that was met with opposition by a few other members at the table at the time that felt that the law needed to be given more teeth and then hire the individual to execute a hypothetical law that didn't exist yet. So
that's where we stand.
I believe there has been
legislation.
Yes.
This is Shannon, and I filed that bill, and I'm not sure I remember where it was signed, but it's certainly ready to be worked on.
Perfect. What committee? That'd be in the CA committee.
It won't be in Congressional Affairs, I don't believe so. I think it was in Government Operations. But the other members, and Congressman Edwards is correct, it has a bill number, it's been filed, it's ready to go. But as far as staffing the office, members expressed concern with staffing it and then passing a law that may change those job descriptions. So we punted to pass the law first and then hire the position. So make a motion to table discussion of office fiscal and performance review.
Or postpone?
Postpone. Motion.
Okay.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say yes.
Yeah.
Yes. The motion passes. Next item on the agenda is Congresswoman Edwards, are you still with us?
Yeah. Yeah.
Portrait of the 6th Osage Nation Congress. This has been on this agenda for, I think, the third time. Here we are. We had scheduled to reshoot the portrait on the first day of the special session coming up on November the 6th. I believe we have confirmation from everyone except Congresswoman Edwards. Do you still plan on not being here?
No, I cannot be there then.
Okay. So having said that, we were going to just go ahead and choose a picture from the first day of session and move forward. We have already scheduled for the photographer to be here. This will be his second time here. And if we postpone, there'll be a charge with that, and then we'll have to reschedule for a third time. So I'm happy with some of the selections that we had on the first time. We plan to reshoot this the first day of special session and don't wanna not include you. So are you okay with us just going back and finding a picture that we've already taken, all 12 members are present, and move forward?
Yes, I'm fine with that.
Okay.
And I'm sorry, but I had communicated before we ever started, right when we started talking about special session, that there were 2 days that I couldn't come, and those were the two, and it turned out those days got picked, and I guess I don't know what happened after that, because I thought we were doing this around December. But anyway, the minute I saw the email from Shannon, I wrote back and said, I'm not going to be there those 2 days.
Okay, Congresswoman Pratt.
So I agree with Congresswoman Edwards that it was already discussed that this would happen, I think, after Christmas. And so I don't understand. So I would like for the entire body to be polled to ask if they're okay with, because what I recall when we were all sitting here was that there was a majority that was not satisfied with the pictures that were taken, and they were pretty bad. So I think that everyone needs to be asked, and I don't think that it's up to three of us to make that decision, or four of us to say whether we're going to go ahead and just choose an old picture. And then I would like for the next time it is scheduled, if we end up not taking it, that everyone be pulled prior to it being scheduled, because that's how typically how, you know, it, that's how previous second speakers or speakers or whoever have handled that, because it is going to take all 12 of us to be there. So,
Speaker Walker.
Right. Well, I don't think that we can take a picture without one of the members there, and that be our so-called picture on the wall for years to come. But we did take pictures on the first day of session, and I wasn't particularly satisfied with the picture myself. The discussion I recall having last time was, we want to have a picture so we can maybe send out a Congress postcard or something like that. Why don't we just pick a picture from that, use it for a postcard, and maybe in the spring schedule another group photo when we're all going to be here. I don't really know what else to do, because we don't know if we're going to have another special session before Christmas or not.
Yeah.
It's really not. I mean, the photo is a big deal. I don't mean to diminish that, but we can get our official picture on the wall 6 months from now, right? Just use the pictures that we got for a postcard. That's my suggestion.
Well, okay, but that's two separate conversations, because I didn't know about the postcard. I didn't know what, who's getting a postcard?
Speaker.
I don't want to say for sure, but I thought Congressman Big Horse mentioned something about having a, not really a postcard, but just a mail out from the Congress. Seasons.
Our Christmas cards that we do every year.
Or putting something in the card. Okay.
All right, so it's for Christmas cards, Christmas greeting. It's not the actual photo that we're going to choose from, because that's what you just stated at the beginning, was that it would be choosing a congressional photo of what we've already taken.
I'm for that, but apparently, and I do recall the last meeting, that several people didn't like the way they looked in the photo. So, just trying to, let's pick up a picture and let's move forward. Now we've got, I don't mind with the option of using one of the photos that we already have for a Christmas card or whatever that may be. I don't care about using one of the, I care, we could pick one from the one we've already had and put it on the wall. I'm fine with it. But apparently there are a majority of others that aren't happy with the picture. Now we've scheduled him to come in on the 6th, and he'll be here at noon, but we're not going to have Congresswoman Edwards here, so we'll have to postpone that and reschedule him for another time in the spring. So I'm open for anything. I'm fine with what we have, but I know that's not going to work.
I think that's the good plan. Cancel on the 6th, reschedule for the spring. Do you want to shoot for the first day of the Hanukkah session?
No, that's exactly how we got into this mess in the first place. That's why nobody wants to do it right then, chaotically right before sessions. Unless it's going to be in the afternoon or something like that. Because that's why most people are dissatisfied with it in the first place, is because of the way it was scheduled to begin with. And then that's why we are now canceling again, because we didn't find out if everybody is going to be there before it was scheduled again. So I think that needs to take place next time before it is scheduled.
I was just going to mention then, rather than be at 8:30 on day one, then maybe we do it. Because typically day one is just reading in legislation, and we have from 10:30 to noon, where we could maybe take it then. It's, surely we can figure that out, right?
That's true. But there was a reason in the afternoon. What was the reason? I mean, people don't want to do it at 8:30 when we're trying to get into session at 10. So, but there was a reason we didn't turn around and go that afternoon. What was that? What was that reason?
I have no idea.
There were meetings scheduled.
Congressman Plott.
I don't know that we need a motion, but I cancel on the 6th and work with the members of Congress to find a time.
If that would just take place beforehand, that's great.
Let's do that.
That would be great.
Cancel on the 6th and let's find a time during the Hanukkah session for a congressional portrait.
Chair would entertain a motion to postpone the portrait of the 6th Osage Nation Congress. As a discussion item at the next meeting. Was there a second?
I said so moved.
No,
said
second.
Oh, okay.
All those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Next item on the agenda, and the last item on the agenda, is the executive session personnel, confidential, and proprietary matters. Chair would entertain a motion to move into this executive session.
I have a question real quick.
Yes, ma'am.
Did we cover Christmas party?
Oh. Can't wait for that one. I will withdraw my motion. And next item on the agenda is the Christmas party on the 8th. And I think we have a tally here. I don't know if this has been stamped in or if it's legal, but are these the folks, is this how this reads, that want to do it on the 22nd?
X is no.
X is no.
The line is yes.
These are the totals.
Okay. So Christmas party dates are the 1st, the 8th, the 15th, and the 22nd. And it looks like the 8th is the majority. So, but that's just the members that can attend. Where is it going to be? What are we going to have? Has not even been discussed. But this is the date that the majority of Congress says, December 8th.
Okay, so then now we can move into plan phase. Now that we know it will be the 8th.
May 1st.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Now that it will be the 8th, that's the majority right there, is the 8th. And I didn't choose the 1st because I think that, isn't that the Christmas parade here in Pawhuska?
Mm-hmm. I'm sure it is.
I'm glad.
Mm-hmm. So.
So the 8th.
So moved.
Did we have a motion?
Okay, I didn't know we
needed a motion, but
sure.
Let's
motion away. Second.
I don't know if we need a motion for that.
I know. It's just like, you're saying that majority is, the input you have is the 8th. Okay. So now we need to move into, not today, but I'm saying however we're going to proceed with the planning.
Let's go with the 8th.
Uh-huh.
Perfect. And then we'll plan it for the next one. Please come with ideas of venues and meals and gifts and games.
Right, okay.
Motion to move into executive session for personal and confidential proprietary matter.
Second.
Motion and second.
Aye.
All those in favor say yes. Yes.
I just want to ask a question of the second speaker if he would please send out a memo to full Congress, let them know that the day of the Congressional Christmas Party will be December 8th.
You won't want to send that out, even though we don't have a location?
Right.
That's the date. Okay. Will do.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And I would suggest in that you felt like you quickly, because things